America Weekend.
Sharknadoes have now been reported all up and down the East Coast.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge.
I'm Christina Stoffa.
Our next guest should be lauded by the entire scientific community, perhaps even nominated for a Nobel Prize. Why easy? He has taught the world to never, ever, ever trust a shark, especially those flying through the air. He is the writer of Sharknado, Sharknado 2, the second one, and now Sharknado 3,
Oh Hell No,
which debuts Wednesday, July 22nd at 9, 8 Central on Sci-Fi. It is quite a pleasure to say hello to Thunder Levin. Thunder, welcome to the show.
Thanks. How are you guys?
Very good. This is quite an honor today. Sharknado, the franchise, it has become quite the international phenomenon. Why?
Why?
Yes.
If I knew that, you know, I'd be printing money.
I think you are right now.
Yeah, all the way to the bank. Are you kidding?
To be honest, the best answer I've been able to come up with is simply, it's a lot of fun.
Yes.
I mean, there just can't be much more to it than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the first one of these movies with these crazy mashup titles that actually delivered on the sense of fun that the title promised. And I guess maybe it tunes into people's inherent fear of sharks and, you know, always the thing about that was, well, if you're afraid of sharks, don't go in the water. And we sort of eliminated that as a defense.
Well, everybody's afraid of sharks. Everybody is afraid of tornadoes.
Yeah.
So you are preying upon the fear of everybody out there. But it works, and it works really, really well.
How did this all begin? Were you, like, sitting down one day and you just had, like, this epiphany, sharks in a tornado, let's do it?
You know, I wish I had.
Yeah.
I wish I could take credit for the word. But I did not come up with that word. That was brought to me. Sci-Fi had the word that had been used in a line of dialogue in another one of their movies.
Really?
Yeah. In I think it was Leprechaun 4.
Yes.
Wow. It made it to 4?
Amazing.
It was just a throwaway line. One of the characters said, you know, I hope our town doesn't go the way of that other town, because they never recovered after the Sharknado hit.
Mm. Oh,
and that
man.
Was it. And then one of the Sci-Fi execs thought, you know, we should make a movie about a Sharknado. And they took that to the Asylum, the production company that makes a lot of these movies, where I had just made a movie that they liked.
Right.
And they said, we want you to write this.
Now, the cast. I had Ian Ziering on the show a few months ago, and I mentioned something to him, and to me, this was simply screenwriting kismet. You named him Finn in the movie. Now, you know, if you're going to have a movie about a Sharknado, you might as well have a title character with the name of Finn.
That's what I thought.
See,
I mean, it just seemed like the only name for the lead character of Sharknado.
Now, with Sharknado 3, you've got some very interesting casting choices, can we say, at the very least. Now, we take a look at the White House. Who plays our esteemed president, Mark Cuban?
I think that was a great choice, by the way.
Who plays the vice president, Ann Coulter? Oh, my goodness. You know, I see this. You know, I got to tell you, I looked at that, and I laughed out loud just looking at who's in the movie, which tells me this is going to be just a night of complete abject fun.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's I mean, there's no way to put any, you know, higher explanation on it. It's just fun. That's what we go for. We try and give the audience a good time. And, you know, Mark Cuban as president, I'd vote for him.
Yeah, no
there
kidding.
You go.
And you have Tara Reid and the Hoff in there. I mean, come on.
Yes, three times the sharks, three times the tornadoes, and 100% more Hoff.
You know, and you can never have too much Hoff.
You can't.
No, no, that's a good way to look at life. Now, this time, this movie, it's Washington, D.C. and the East Coast. So the Sharknado franchise, the whole idea of the Sharknado, it's starting to encompass the world. I can see this, Thunder. I can see 5 years from today, we're going to be sitting here doing another interview, and we're going to be talking about Sharknado 37, Indianapolis, chomping at middle America. This cannot stop. This can go on for years.
It can, absolutely. And we'd love to see it go international too.
Yeah.
I can imagine a shark
Japan.
On the Eiffel Tower or the Sydney Opera House.
You know,
or maybe the Colosseum in Rome.
That
would be a great place to fight some sharks.
And after that, you know, we're taking pictures of Pluto today. Maybe we can even take this to outer space at some time. See that?
Oh, boy.
I'm giving you ideas.
There's just no telling.
There is no telling. You know, in all seriousness, it is amazing the social media storm, pun intended, that this created with the first movie. This was really one of the first media events that was embraced by Twitter and literally just catapulted the success of this thing. That was one of the first times a TV movie ever did that.
Well, to be honest, that's what I've been saying. I've been doing some speaking engagements recently, and my point is that, you know, from the beginning of human history, whether it was from cavemen sitting around a fire telling stories to the amphitheaters in ancient Greece to the commoners all coming to see Shakespeare, mm-hmm. or even just 40 years ago, it used to be you'd have 1,000, 2,000 people all gathered in a movie theater watching the same story, you know, sitting together in the dark. It was all about the shared communal experience and getting this the oral tradition of storytelling. And it gave us a common language, and it bound our society together. It was the glue that made human society work.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 10, 15 years, we've sort of lost that. We've been all getting our media at different times and different places. We watch it on our phones and our computers. And so as a result, society is just crumbling. It's breaking down because we don't have this common language anymore. And so when Sharknado premiered that night and Twitter went mad, it was the first shared communal experience of the internet age. And so in a way, Sharknado has saved the entire human race.
You see how he brought that full circle?
You are a hell of a writer. My goodness. Little did we know we were going to go from talking about Twitter to saving humanity as we know it. My goodness.
So growing up, were you a big sci-fi fan?
Absolutely.
What were some of your favorite sci-fi shows?
Star Trek probably had the greatest influence on me. I wanted to be Mr. Spock.
Of course.
And actually, to be honest, when Leonard Nimoy died just recently, that was a really bad day for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Star Trek, and then later Star Wars, mm-hmm. And the Godzilla movies, the Japanese monster films. Those were all really big influences on me.
Where do you get your flair for comedy? I mean, you've taken sci-fi and you've added this madcap, zany, almost kind of like a Mel Brooksian way to look at things. I mean, where does that come from?
To be honest, I don't know. That continues to surprise me. I mean, I guess I have sort of this dry, sarcastic sense of humor in real life, which gets me in trouble a lot because people often don't realize I'm joking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where that comes from, because I was never a particularly funny kid.
Really?
6 years ago, I did a film called Mutant Vampire Zombies from the Hood.
I remember that on Oscar night when they showed
Yeah. And obviously, just from the title, you can tell that had the same kind of sense of humor.
I would hope so.
I don't know where it comes from. I guess I look back and I see people getting very serious about things just in life. And I think that's nuts, because life is way too serious sometimes, and if you can't laugh at it, you'll just go insane.
You come from a writing background. Your dad, an award-winning journalist for WCBS Radio in New York, and then when I get a kick out of the fact your mom, she lived in Liverpool. She works right across the street from the Cavern Club, and she never bothers to go in to watch the Beatles. What's up with that?
It's our great family shame.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Wow. She's holding out for, like, the Dave Clark Five or something, but, you know...
She was a big Frank Sinatra fan, and I think she felt that the rockers over at the Cavern Club were sort of the riffraff.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I see.
Sinatra was never grabbing a martini and heading down into the cavern to sing his tunes, I would imagine.
He did not.
No, no.
All right, so let's talk about San Diego Comic-Con. You were there.
Yeah.
Did you have a panel there for Sharknado?
Yeah, we did. It was great. We had a line out the door and, like, around the block. I didn't get to see it.
Did you get a chance to, like, walk around San Diego Comic-Con? Like, do people recognize you?
No.
As a person? Okay.
No, well. I've been recognized on the street once a few months ago, and it was the most terrifying thing that's ever happened to me.
Why? That's going to be so cool.
It's creepy.
It's Mr. Sharknado. I got to shake your fin.
It's creepy.
So what happened?
It's creepy, yeah. And B, I had been writing. I'd been in the middle of the Sharknado 3 script. I'd been working on Deadline. I hadn't showered in like 2 days.
Oh, my.
I was wearing my scuzziest sweats I'd just done a workout. And this beautiful girl walks by and she says, "Are you Thunder?"
Hey, now.
Who's asking?
And all I could keep thinking was, why did it have to be today?
Oh, so funny.
Give me 15 minutes to go home and shower, and I'll meet you right here on this corner. See?
Exactly.
So at Comic-Con, do people have weirdo questions for you? Or, like, are people getting dressed up, like, you
like
know?
Like a shark?
Well, I'll tell you, the first year we went, it was after the first movie premiered. Yeah. It was like a week after, and so the Fuhrer was in full swing. And somebody came dressed up as a Sharknado, and she had this big wrap of, you know, cotton around her in the shape of a tornado, and
that'll
there were toy sharks in
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I love Comic-Con.
Wow.
And I asked her, does it spin around? And so she proceeded to just, you know, sort of walk in a twirl around in a
yeah.
circle. And
she improvised,
see?
Yeah. So, yeah. Wow. Once again, Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No, premieres Wednesday, July 22nd, 9 Eastern, 8 Central on Sci-Fi. Thunder 11, this has been so much fun. Thanks so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Thanks, Thunder.
Stay with us. I'm Ed Kalecki.
I'm Christina Stoffo.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
For 13 seasons, this small forward was known as much for his trash-talking as for his shooting. He was so deadly from three-point range, it earned him the nickname, the Rifleman.
He'll pull up and shoot a three. Watch it. There it goes. That'll be good. It is the Person Show.
So where is Chuck Person now? Chuck retired and watched his younger brother, Wesley Person, become a three-point threat in his own right. Chuck has spent more than 10 years as an assistant coach with the Kings, Cavs, and Pacers, and in 2011, he joined the L.A. Lakers. Funny seeing such an offensive player become a great defensive coach.
And the one thing about scorers that go to the other side of the ball is they know what to take away from the offensive players.
Nice to see the Rifleman still on target. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
The Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
For kids, these fun, zany, banana-colored characters are far from despicable. They're one in a minion. The Min!
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Ant-Man. Now play.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Hi, who's this?
This is Alan Fankhauser with Harley-Davidson Motor Company.
What you got here, Alan?
We have a jump start set up that has our Project Livewire electric motorcycle on it, and you might hear that in the background.
Today on American Biker Minute.
The Movie Man 6-second DVD review starts now.
When horror is done well, it gets in your blood, and It Follows is one of the creepiest movies of the year. Bye-bye!
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Ant-Man. Now play.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Live wire in your future.
People can get on that bike in the stationary setting, feel what it's like to ride Project Livewire. To test the concept of an electric motorcycle, that technology is changing so much that right now we're just putting customers on it, getting their feedback, and we hope to make a decision in the coming 18 to 24 months as to whether this might be a bike that we could produce.
American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two wheels.